Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, 15, and 16, and we'll look at basically a phrase that arrested my attention. And it's like, I think it's Proverbs, talks about like a ruby or something, a diamond, you turn it, everywhere you turn it, it's glorifying, it's refreshing, you get new sights, new things. And this is one of those passages where I've looked at it over and over again. We preached lessons through Hebrews not too long ago, and it's just wonderful. We'll take a look at this together. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, with God the Holy Spirit's assistance, I hope we're going to look at one particular phrase in this chapter 4, and it's found in verse 16, and it is four words: the throne of grace. The throne of grace. Now, this word throne in the Greek, it means potentate. As in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, let's read verse 14, that thou keep his commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. Another derivative of this word throne could be sovereign, as in Psalms, chapter 4. I may have this, can't even read my own writing. Let's take a look at this here. It looks like a 4. Psalms, I've got two other verses, so if this one isn't it, we'd go look at a couple others. No, I'm sorry, looks like it's 17, Psalm 17, there we go. Look at those semicolons, they tell you the passage in the verse. 17 and verse 8, that ain't it either. Okay, let's try Revelations 11. Revelations 11. Now I'm going to be wondering what that is. Revelations chapter 11 and verse 15. If I get this one wrong, we'll just move on to the next derivative. Revelations 11 and verse 15. And the seven angels sounded, and they were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kings of the Lord and of the Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's what I'm trying to get at. Another derivative is reign or sovereign. Another derivative of this word throne could be ruler, as in Psalms 103. Psalms 103 and verse 19. Psalms 103, verse 19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. His kingdom rules over all. So this throne of grace, this potentate of grace, this sovereign of grace, this ruler of grace, or in another place, king, as in Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, thus these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. He's the King. Another derivative of this would be Prince, as in Daniel. Prince, as in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Messiah, the Prince. This all has connotations of throne. And I don't know Greek, but I got Greek tools. I looked them up, and every one of these, potentate. This is a throne of grace. He's our potentate. He is our sovereign. He is our ruler. He is our king. He is our prince. And the last one was crowned, a crowned head. A crowned head. And we do sing that hymn, crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Back to our text. Hebrews chapter 4. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Forget not, dear reader, it is the throne of grace to which you come in prayer. It is a throne because God is sovereign. He will ever have the suppliant recognize this perfection of his nature. He hears and answers as a sovereign. He hears whom he will and answers what and when he will. There must be no dictation to God, no refusing to bow to his sovereignty, no rebelling against his will. If the answer that he gives be delayed, or God should seem to withhold it altogether, remember that he gives no account of any of his matters, and that he has a right to answer or not to answer, as seems good in his sight. Glorious perfection of God, beaming from the mercy seat. This is a throne of grace. A throne of grace. This is who we serve. This is, and we know no other God. Now, we did know other gods before he revealed himself to us through the gospel, through his truth. There's a puny God. It was Dagog. It was a God that you could make and put a picture up and have blue eyes and all these different things and stuff like that. It was a God that we could move around, and we could put him up on the mantle and then take him down. But the God of the Scriptures, he is on a throne. He is a potentate, the only potentate, sovereign, ruler, king, prince, and a crowned head. Yet, for our use and edification this morning, not only is it a throne of grace, it's a throne of grace. And I remember 4 or 5, maybe longer than that, years ago, Donnie preached the message, "Is the Grace of God," is the title of it. And I thought he could, there's no way you could wear out that phrase, but it was just so good. It was just grace upon grace, line upon line, precept upon precept. It's just everywhere you looked around, the believer sees grace. This is a throne, yes. An undisputable, unmovable, sovereign throne. But it's of grace. Grace, oh, how sweet the sound upon our ear. It soothes our sorrows and cheers our soul. And this throne of grace we must have. Nay, we must have it, or else if we ever desire to be reclaimed, to be redeemed, to be rescued or converted, it has to be a throne of grace. We are poor and needy, helpless, sinful, racked in spiritual poverty, bound fast in the chains of Adam's transgression, and then on top of that, we add our own miseries. However, such a throne is erected for our great need, all by the free favor and pity of our God in the person and worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And blessed be Jehovah. It is a throne of grace which is occupied by the God of all grace. He sits and resides all to the benefit of his elect bride, to his church, to the remnant of his calling and keeping. Pardon, peace, justification, adoption, all set up freely on this throne by this God of grace. We have light, liberty, freedom, comfort, all dispensed from this high throne by our sweet and majestic Emmanuel. Therefore, let us come boldly unto this throne of grace. Now, this throne of grace, in keeping in context with all of Hebrews, but to go back to verse 14, seeing then that we who have such great needs, who have fallen short of the glory of God, we who have sinned on every turn, every twist, every shape, every form, we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession, for we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. The work is complete. By your believing does not add to the work of Christ. Your believing is a result of He's making us meet to be partakers, inherited with the saints in lights. He makes us meet to come unto Him. And so we come and we're filled. Therefore, come boldly to this throne of grace. Don't plead goodness or merit, but plead blood, His pure blood. I like this, what Spurgeon said. It had nothing related to this, but I thought this was just so good. I printed it out. I'm going to put it up. It'll be one of my keep for a while, you know, a little board. I put stuff up that I keep. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. As I look around here and I see you, and I see a bunch of vessels that are not yet full. So the oil will not be stayed. And as you look at me, there's more of you looking at me than me looking at you. And you see my many faults and flaws and incorrect grammar. And I can't find scripture sometimes. You see all these things. And yet, as a local body, a local ecclesia, this is how God would have it. Some preachers, some elders, all these different for the perfecting of the saints. We all have gifts if we're all His children. So you see a vessel that's got some issues, probably not even a third of the way full. So I beseech you, pray for me. Pray for the work here. Pray for the work here as I pray for you. As long as there is a vessel of grace not yet full to the brim, the oil shall not be stayed. We just looked at that this last Wednesday. The widow and the oil. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. You want to see a parallel passage to Hebrews 4:16? Look at this one. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. God, through Christ, He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. It's His throne. Sovereignty. And He has set the world upon them. However, there's some who will be raised up, and they're called poor. Where are we at? We're from the dust. We came from the dust. We were beggars from the dunghill, and that's nasty. I could use the 2020 vernacular, but I won't do that. That's what we are. He's shown us what we are. There's none good, no, not one, in things spiritual. But he does it. He's raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the beggar from the dunghill. And he's given us a name like Prince. And we are kings and priests, says in the New Testament. But just in case we get cocky, the throne of glory, the pillars of the earth are the Lord's. We always go back to that. We're nothing and he's everything. We're nothing and he's everything. You know, when simple arithmetic and simple math, when you got a zero, it's whatever the first, you know, 10 plus zero. That I love those problems. When I remember used to like, well, I can really get these. And then something a little harder, it's like, oh, zero. It's always that way. Christ plus something, it's a violation of the gospel. It's not the gospel. But Christ plus nothing, it's us. He's everything. It's really, back to our text. Therefore, let us come boldly. That word boldly is very interesting. In an expanded version, it's with freedom of speech. With freedom of speech. Now, of course, we stand fast in the liberty or the freedom where Christ has made us free. So in Christ, we have the freedom to speak to our heart's content. And he's telling us to come boldly. Speak freely. We are told to come. And this is not a maybe. There's maybe a blessing at the end of this thing. No, I like how it's worded. It's a sure portion is promised. We find it all because of verse 15, because Christ has already given us the gifts. The gifts have already been granted, found, sure to all the seed. So I say, let us come expectingly, for Christ has already purchased all these things for us. Just come. Just come. Come for life. Come for help. Come for mercy. As Peter said, unto whom coming? We never stop coming. It's not that we were baptized and then somebody says, were you saved? And we go looking in the drawers for our baptismal certificate. No. We keep coming. We keep coming to gather to worship. We keep coming. If we ever stop coming, then there would be a question. And then Paul, that they were of us, but they're no longer with us. Why? Because they weren't of us. Now, there may be some other place around here that's preaching the gospel. I've been here 30-something years. More than that. I know a few places that are close, but we're not talking horseshoes. We're not talking. It's the gospel. It's one gospel, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And I'm not boasting. I'm not trying to be boastful. I'm just saying, thank God. He left a vision. For without a vision, the people perish. That's what the scripture says. So that's why I asked us before, a couple weeks ago, when Don Fortner passed away, that group does not have a pastor. Or whatever you want, however you want to phrase it, an elder. They don't have, and so they're looking. So pray for them. If the Lord, because most, I hate to say this, but most of the time, one generation. So these churches that have been around for more than one or two generations, what a blessing. Now, I would love to see something here for our children, but that's not my response. I'm to be faithful. We're to be faithful what? In our generation, in our time. So I say, come expectingly, come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain. And that's not a maybe if, it's obtained, it's here for us. And find grace to help in time of need. It's an already established. It's finished. I remember, I think as we were trying to figure out who said this years ago, I don't know if you understand. You just understand what I'll say. I'll say it anyway. Donnie Bell made a comment. He got done preaching. He just said, get on the bike and ride. Just get on the bike and ride. Well, that's not... I don't believe in free will, none of that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. If he has given you the tools, if he has given you the heart, the desire to worship him and to come to him, come.
come.
For in him, he says, the fatherless find mercy. Now I want to close 1 Samuel chapter 22. This is just beautiful. This is kind of like what Nathan was talking about in Genesis chapter 50 back in the men. There's the same situation, different characters, but it is absolutely beautiful. 1 Samuel 22. Look at verses 1 and 2, and then we'll close with the last verse, verse 23. But look at verse chapter 22 of 1 Samuel and verse 1. David was the type of Christ, therefore departed thence, escaped to the cave Adullam. Now he's running for his life. He's in a time of trial, a situation difficult, like we find ourselves in all the time. He's running. And he escaped to the cave Adullam, and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him, specifically to David. Now look at this. David is a type of Christ. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discomforted, gathered themselves unto him. That's what I'm saying. Find the captain of your salvation. Find the general. Find the balm in Gilead. And take the medicine. Be in league with this one. Not me up here, with the one that I'm preaching. Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he became what? A captain over them. That's what he will. You will voluntarily, willingly submit yourself to him. Where he goes, you will follow. It's just like the calling of the disciples in the New Testament. You remember that. They're fishing. They're collecting taxes. They're doing what they're doing. He walks by and he says, follow me. Bam. They found that pearl at great price. They sold everything. How important is worship? I just look at every one of you that work. And even us that don't work. Did you get beat up? Did you get kicked around? Did you get laughed at? Not even, maybe even didn't say anything about the gospel. Just don't like the way you're doing stuff. Oh, this is an oasis. So what happens when you gather under Christ? Look at verse 23. This is David speaking. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me, thou shalt be in safeguard. That word safeguard, I've got it written down here because I preached this a long time ago. You'll be in my custody. Aren't we in Christ's custody? But most importantly, you'll be my responsibility. Who's that remind you of? Benjamin and Judah. If the lad go not with us, I'm responsible. Christ is our custody. He has us in custody. And he's taken us under his wing and bears full responsibility. So I say again, come. And come with freedom of speech. Come to Christ with the liberty wherewith he set us free. Any situation, any problem, what we would consider small are large. I think about all the things that are going on with the brethren throughout this that I know of, and it's amazing the trials and the struggles. Any normal person would just chuck it and give it up. But why? Bruce said it this morning. The love of Christ constrains us. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love. And the only place that God's love is found and will not be separated from is in Christ. Christ Jesus the Lord. Brandon, would you close us?
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to be known.
being sovereign and gracious.